I had them in this box of tracks. I got a different box. I don't know where those tracks would have went. Unless they're in here.
Final book.
I hope not.
Maybe somebody needs them to read a track for you.
Well, me, I can't hardly see out of these. Let's see.
Are they too weak or too strong? They're pretty strong. Maybe that's what it is.
Some. If I ever find them, I'm going to put them somewhere where I know where
they are. Put them at
your seat. Yeah. This won't work. Get this big print by the way. You need them?
Let's
see what these look like. Yeah. No. That ain't even close. I don't know if any of y'all are going to work.
I cut me short a long time ago.
I doubt this is the eager verb, see if you can see with them.
Zephaniah, chapter 3. Yeah. You can see how them either.
It's a prescription there.
I forgot my other glass. I had a pair here. I knew I'd had a pair here. It's history. See these.
No.
All right. Thank you anyway.
No, you can't leave stuff.
We got to sing this morning, too. I'm going to have a hard time singing my music.
Yeah, you can't leave stuff laying around back there. Bunch your butt around a bunch of Baptists.
I think you can leave things laying around the church.
Depends around a bunch of Baptists. It ain't going to turn up.
Huh? Yeah. But it's got a different trash box of trash. It's full. I don't know what they're doing with it.
Did you look as if they're in the bottom of it?
I hope not. Because it's full. If they are, they're broke. We got the Zephaniah chapter 3 down about verse. We started on verse 4. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. All right, now we talked about that a little last week. The problem always starts from top down. The problem with the nation starts with the nation's preachers and teachers. And in this case, priests and prophets. And then it trickles down through the government. That's where it always starts. We looked last week how that... We looked at some of the men of our country today, preachers, teachers, teaching lies and heresy. And we looked at how they messed up the Word of God. Scholars messed up the Word of God and changed the Word of God and exalting these corrupt Bibles. Christian colleges get their students in there and they talk them out of their Bibles. And they teach them that these other Bibles are reliable. And they're better than the King James, which is lies.
Right.
Then it says, verse 4, it says, they have done violence to the law.
Mm-hmm.
There's where the problem is. Done violence to the law. Look at Jeremiah 25:15-16. Violence to the law. Jeremiah 25:15-16. I got my notes, I've got them rolled out pretty big size. Good thing. I might start writing them bigger, I guess. Yeah, there you go. Jeremiah 25:15-16, they've done violence to the law, and it says, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and shall be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Now, why did he say that? Look at verse 34. He's addressing the people, but he's addressing somebody else that's caused this problem. 34. How ye shepherds. Shepherds is the problem.
Right.
And cry and wallow yourselves in the ashes. Ye principal of the flock. There's the religious leaders. For the day of your slaughter, of your depressions, dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel.
Mm.
And the shepherds, that's the problem.
It's trifocals. Maybe one of them will fit you.
Hey, man.
Yeah, hallelujah. That's pretty good.
All right.
And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. All right. The shepherds. Notice he's addressing the shepherds here. Look at Jeremiah 23. In relation to that verse, they've done violence to thy law. They've done violence to the law. Jeremiah 23.
Verse 1.
Look at verse 21. Jeremiah 23.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 2.
Yeah. 1 and 2, pretty serious.
Yeah, the Bible's full of it.
There they go.
But they got all kinds of
them. Hey, man.
Wearing on back to head, front head, back
to head. Yeah. These ain't even close.
I got his
style. Oh, I'll put these right here, Scott. Here's the them.
Dad.
Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scare the sheep. Verse 1. We'll look at verse 1 and 2. Destroy and scare the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Now look at 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
That's like preachers getting up today.
Right.
That's not even supposed to have any business preaching.
I'm right. Called this.
That's a man in a pulpit that ain't got any business in the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
The Lord didn't send them. And you can hear them. You hear them all the time.
Right.
Verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, look at that, W-R-D-S.
Mm-hmm.
Then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Look at verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words. Everyone from his neighbor. Man. You think of this morning, there's churches this morning that where they don't have the Word of God. Somebody stole them from them.
Right, yeah.
They're sitting in church this morning and the pew Bibles are NIVs. Somebody stole the Bible from them.
Yeah.
And they think that's a reliable translation and they can depend on it. That's going on right now.
Troy.
You got teachers standing up right now teaching right. out of a corrupt version. They're stealing the words of God from their students.
Yeah.
And they're convincing them that the King James Bible is not necessary. That's going on all the time.
God said, Brother Mike, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed.
Yeah.
Lack of knowledge. Acts 17, verse 11, said they search the Scriptures daily where those things were so. I think that's important.
You got to have Scriptures before you search
It's them. True, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can find heresy if you got the Word of God, yeah.
Verse 31, Jeremiah 23. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith.
Oh, me.
Tell you something else they can do. You can look at the opposite. He saith. He saith. That's a tragic translation in the King James Bible right there. Preacher picks up, He saith. That word should have been translated so and so. Or they'll stand up and they say, That's not what it should have said. It should have said thus and thus.
A better rendering.
Yeah. Better rendering would be. Boy, that's what's going on. That's how a nation is destroyed.
They think it's more than
God.
That's how a nation is destroyed. You say, what about liquor? Hey, you can see liquor coming. You know what's behind that stuff.
Right. Right.
But this stuff right here is southern. It's got millions of people in America, millions of Christians. Let me back up. Christians that don't even have a Bible. They don't even have a Bible. He said.
Brother Mike, too, it's sad. All these people that's in them NIV and stuff now, they grew up in a church with a King James.
Right.
And probably got saved under a King James.
Right. Talked them out of it.
True. Yeah. And if they have any truth, it comes from a King James.
Fair speech, yeah. Seems simple.
He swears by the King James Bible now. Here a while back, we was talking about it. Mm-hmm. Hell, he got an argument over it and everything because he was wanting to put down the King James Version. And he grew up in a church that I know uses the King James.
Oh yeah, they've affected. You know, you wouldn't think you'd ever turn from the King James Bible to a corrupt translation, but it's happened to a lot of people.
Yeah, through fair speech, you see the simple.
I mean, I know some preachers that used to be straight as a string, right. And now they're NIV all the way.
I read a thing this morning actually. It said 594 reasons I don't believe in Christ anymore.
Anymore.
He had turned atheist. He used to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And he, when you got in there and looked at it, it was 594 mistakes in the Bible. Every single one he had in there, 594. I didn't read them all, but I scrolled down through every one of them. He had New International Version. He had the NIV. Yeah, he had the NIV as the Bible he was using.
Mm-hmm. The shirt hard.
There was, yeah, there was a mistake in it.
You didn't see my glasses anywhere, Ed.
Okay. First King. First King chapter 22.
Think about that a minute. An atheist using NIV.
Right.
Yeah. Now that tells you something.
Well, the point I took away from it is that's what caused him to become an atheist. Right.
Could be.
All the way, yeah.
Because he showed his faith out of that.
This really happened. A fella was telling me about the other day. A guy asked this guy that was he believed that NIV was the Bible, King James was just a reliable translation. Mm-hmm. And the guy asked him, said, quote John 3:16. Well, they just quoted right off just like that from the King James Bible.
Yeah.
Why didn't he quote the NIV?
Right.
If they got any truth, they got it from the King James.
Right.
And if they got any standards and any right principles, any right fundamentals, they got them from the King James. But, you know, the NIV don't even mention hell in the Old Testament. And you take a Baptist walking around carrying the NIV, believes in hell, he didn't get it from the NIV. Every incident in the Old Testament where hell is mentioned, I looked it up. Every time the word hell is mentioned in the Old Testament, it gives the New World Translation reading. It calls it the grave. Same thing as Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. All right, where was we?
Hey, Brother Mike, in 1 Kings chapter 22, there's 400 lying preachers.
Yeah.
And one truthful preacher that tells about the death of Ahab, 1 to 400. And also on Mount Carmel, there's 850 against one.
Wonder what the ratio is today. Back then it was 400 to 1.
Ain't no
telling. Wonder what it is today.
400 million.
Yeah, no telling. Jeremiah 23:21. Have we done read there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
About 30 and 31.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We read that one?
Yeah. You can get 32. Get that one.
Read it, brother.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies,
mm-hmm.
and their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them.
Right.
Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord.
Think about that. Cause them to err by lies.
Yeah.
Err by lies. A lot of lies going on this morning cause people to err.
Oh, yeah.
But you know the sad thing? Some of them lies are going to damn people for eternity.
Right.
That's terrible stuff.
That's going to be a lot of blood on their hands.
Yes, sir. Look at 36. Look at verse 36. Verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. Look at it real close. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Mm. Now, the Lord's mad at folks for doing stuff. Perverted the words. Now, he didn't say the fundamentals there. You notice that? He didn't say the principles there. He said you perverted the words.
Mm-hmm.
They mess with the words of your Bible is what they're doing.
Right.
You know the Catholics believe the fundamentals? You know the Catholics believe Christ died on the cross, rose again the third day? They believe that. You know the Presbyterians believe in the principles of the Bible? They attack the words. They don't mess with the fundamentals. You can find the fundamentals in the International Version. You can find principles in the International Version. But the words is a different story.
Right.
Tuesday morning, my two bosses are both Catholic, and they're good moral guys, you know. Mm-hmm. But I got to work Tuesday morning. That's how my day started Tuesday. I walked in the office, and they were sitting there, and Jerry said, "I'm glad you're here." He said, "A quick, it's our priest that spoke. I don't remember if he said Saturday night or Sunday, but he spoke and said he was talking about how that America has went away from God." And I said, "Yeah." And I thought, well, you know, I started listening. He said, and he's talking about that great whore of Babylon. And I thought, oh, now we got it. And he said, that was the Statue of Liberty. He said, listen, he said, that didn't make much sense to me. He said, what do you think that is? And I said, you don't want me to answer that question.
Amen, brother.
That's right. No, seriously, what do you think that is? And I said, Jerry, you do not want me to answer his question. And Phil said, well, I answer him. I said, I'm getting ready to make y'all really, really mad.
Amen, brother.
But I did answer my daddy asked me when I sat there, I raised my hand by witness, and I said, I almost lost my job over it. But they got hot. They got hot, boy. They didn't speak to me for about half a day.
You tell them, brother. You tell them.
I told him.
Hey, man.
That's right.
He asked me three times.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. But, you know, the Lord will use that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was going to be a one.
Get it. And if they don't get it right, when they stand before God, he'll say, remember that?
Yeah.
You were born.
Just right there.
Right there.
He told you what your church organization is all about.
That's right. True.
That's what it's going to be, folks.
That's true.
And that's why it's good to speak up. Even if you make people upset.
I can't believe a priest brought that up.
Right.
You see, he was blind, too, because he didn't know what it was.
Blind leading the blind.
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty. They mess with the words. They mess with the words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liberal Methodists, they believe in the fundamentals. They believe Christ died and rose again the third day. But they don't have the words of God because they use different translations. Liberal Baptists. Man, this country's full of them. I can pick on the Baptists because I'm a Baptist. I'm a liberal Baptist. It's a mess, buddy. It's sick. They believe the fundamentals just as much as you do. And they're just as strong on the principles as you are. But when it comes to words of God, words, not the word, words of God, they're all messed up. Their teacher and their preacher got them all messed up.
Some fundamental Baptists are just believe the King James.
Yes, sir.
They pick out all the mean stuff out of it. You know what I'm saying? That's all they preach on is homosexuals, and they get on hobby horses.
True, and they, if you pin them down, odds are they're not 100% on this book.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
Pin them down, they're not 100% on this book.
Right.
Bob Johnson. What's that Greek translation? The last Greek translation?
Textus Receptus.
Textus Receptus. They're Textus Receptus.
Mm-hmm.
You pin them down, most of them, when it comes down to the bottom line, if you can ever get them to admit it, they'll believe the Textus Receptus is superior to the King James English. That's just the way it is. And you'll never know it. They have to use this book in order to make a living.
Yeah.
They have to use that book in order to keep the pulpit.
Well, and another thing I've thought of too is if them other guys don't change in the circles they're in, it's suicide on their ministry.
True.
Was the same thing for a fundamental Baptist.
True.
But he did come out and say suicide on his ministry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They put a check mark on it. They put a check mark and say, you got to watch this guy.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to watch this. Years ago, I may have told this, I was at a church meeting, and they were having a dinner afterwards, and I was sitting at the table, and it was full of preachers. Bunch of fundamental preachers from all over the country. Bunch of fundamental preachers. My pastor was sitting beside me, and I said something about Dr. Ruffin. And Brother Jones said, shh,
brother. Said, that's not good right here. I thought, what's going on? He said, don't mention that name right now.
Can you believe that? And you know what? You know what the problem is with Dr. Peter S. Ruffin? He exalts this Bible as the final authority.
That's right.
And as the words of God, just the way God wants it, and preserved just the way God wants it, and they can't stand that.
Yeah.
They don't tell you that's their problem.
They won't tell you that, but they don't
find
like
other stuff to say is their problem.
Yeah, you got that right.
Hey, Brother Mike, in 1 Kings chapter number 13, there's a man of God come cried against the altar that Jeroboam had built. And a man of God come to him and lied to him and said, thus saith the Lord, that you're supposed to come eat bread and drink water with me. But the Bible does say, but he lied unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to that guy's house. He said after he left, after he told him he lied to him, that a lion met him and killed him. So no lies are the truth. So God said, go back a different way.
Lies are trouble. The problem today is they have a problem with the words of the King James Bible.
Amen.
Okay, verse 5.
Fall on it, you live. It falls on you, grind you to powder.
We might get through this real quick. I got a little note here. I prepared this verse July 18, 2012.
Praise the Lord.
That was what? 3 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago. I'm way ahead, brother.
Amen, brother.
Verse 5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Boy, that's a whole lot of subjects right there.
Yeah.
The just Lord is in his place. All right, he's judging and watching everybody in his place.
I lifted up.
He's watching everybody, sees everything. Genesis 11:5-8. See what I got here. Genesis 11:5-8.
Come down and see that tire.
Genesis 11:5. All right, it's in the sense of Genesis chapter 5. It's in the sense of him being everywhere, seeing everything. Now, we know today he's omnipresent through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He sees what's going on everywhere by his Spirit. But he sees everything. Genesis 11:5-8. It's in this sense right here. Look what he says here. And the Lord came down to see the city. Little 4. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, meets the heaven and the broad. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now it says he came down. He knows what's going on. He comes down, sees what's going on. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. Verse 7. Go to, let us go down.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he talking about? He's talking about him and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ.
Right.
The Trinity. Right. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. All right, that's the sense that he sees everything.
Right.
That's the kind of sense he's talking about. Now notice it says, he will not do iniquity. He will not do iniquity.
You're right.
God will not do iniquity. Job 8:3.
Amen, brother.
Job 8:3. Doeth God pervert judgment? Now you know the answer to that. Bible asks a question and you know it doesn't answer it right there, but you know the answer. I give God the credit, won't you? I give God the benefit of the doubt. A lot of people won't. Doeth God pervert judgment? You'll hear this old stuff. Why'd God let that happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why did God let this happen? Why God done this? God don't pervert judgment. Or doeth the Almighty pervert justice? No, he doesn't. Look at chapter 34, verse 10. Job 34:10. Therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. Now, it said over here in verse 5, he will do no iniquity. Genesis 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Right.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's a question God asked you. My answer is yes, he will do right. And you know he'll do right. He always does right. People commit iniquity. The Jews, Isaiah 1:4. People commit iniquity, not God. The Jews did. Mm-hmm. God's chosen people. Isaiah 1:4. The Jews. A sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord and provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. The heathen commit iniquity. Jeremiah 25:12. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. There's a heathen.
Mm-hmm.
Notice iniquity connected with the heathen. And sad to say, Christians commit iniquity.
Read verse 13 there, brother.
Read it real quick.
And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that's written in this book.
Right. No excuse. You say, well, I didn't read the Bible. No excuse. You had one available.
Yeah.
Christians commit iniquity. You say, really? Yeah, Christians commit iniquity.
Yeah.
You know, some Christians just
as wicked as hell. That you sin not.
Christians commit iniquity. Look at Romans 6:19.
Yeah.
Romans 6:19. I speak out of the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Talking to Christians. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, talking to a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness. Look at 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Christians. You know, getting saved didn't fix your old man.
Right.
Getting saved didn't get rid of old flesh. Old nature, you still got it.
Right.
And that old nature is capable of doing anything. 2 Timothy 2:19.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't keep it under subjection, it causes you a lot of trouble. 2 Timothy 2:19. Somebody got it, read it.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and that every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
So mm-hmm. evidently some of them hadn't departed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to look at the other side of the corner. Some of them hadn't departed from iniquity, and they're saved just as saved you are. And Paul warns them to depart from iniquity.
You know, Brother Paul, there's another warning there in Romans 6, 1 and 2. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? The grace may abound? God forbid, and this is important. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's some early gravestones
right,
planted.
Yes, sir. Now, we know that God never does iniquity. We know that. We know that. Now, you say everybody knows. No, everybody don't know that. Some people will blame God and drop my hat
true.
For doing something that they thought he shouldn't have done. Now, God doesn't
Starting
do anything.
Foolishly.
But what God does or allows is always right. You need to remember that.
I always like to 2 Timothy 4:10 talking about it. Says, Redeemus has forsaken me, having loved his brethren. He don't say forsaken God. He
yeah.
says forsaken me, having loved his brethren.
Right. True.
And he'll say he just
left me. Yeah, and but you have to think, too, you have to look, remember this, when he forsook him, he forsook the church.
Right.
When he forsook the church, he forsook Christ.
Right.
Because the church is Christ's body.
Right.
Okay? Sometimes we know why judgment falls, and sometimes we don't.
Right. It's true.
But we know that God does right, and what he allows is right. And we have to remember that.
Right.
Proverbs 15:3 says,
Job said, though he slay me, it won't trust him.
Yeah. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's looking down,
right.
and he sees everything that we don't see. You say, why did God let that happen over there across town? God knows something you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And he sees stuff that you don't see.
Right.
Amen.
The big question today with people, and I ask the question sometime too, is why do the innocent perish with the wicked? Why do the innocent perish with the wicked?
Collateral damage, I guess.
Why? Maybe the innocent wasn't so innocent.
True.
See, we only see one side of the story. Maybe that innocent person wasn't as innocent as you thought he was. God knows everything. He sees everything.
Yeah.
Job was a godly man. His afflictions couldn't shake his faith.
Right.
Why'd he have all those troubles?
Prove who he was.
I mean, think about it. Why'd he have all those troubles? Now, Job was a self-righteous man. I don't have the time, but in Job 29:7-25, Job was a self-righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
But Job was a good man. And Job got honor. He, you know, honor has to be earned. Respect has to be earned. Job earned it. You read that over in Job. Job was a man. He was a good man.
Yeah.
But he was self-righteous. He was self-righteous. Look at Job 42 real quick. We're going to have to end this thing here, man.
All the stuff that happened to Job, too, did not cause that, but he allowed it.
Right. True. For a reason.
Yeah.
Job 42:5-6. Job faces his person right here. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, talking about God, but now mine eyes see of thee. And when he got a picture of God and God's righteousness, look what he says. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Mm-hmm.
He was self righteous, but he got it right. He got it right. A lot of Job's trouble was also for a reason. He's a picture of the Jew in the tribulation.
Right.
That's why a lot of he had his troubles was a picture of the Jew in the tribulation. Zephaniah 3:5 says, "His judgment to light. Doth he bring his judgment to light?"
Mm-hmm.
God had warned Judah over and over and over. He sent Ezekiel. He sent Isaiah. He sent Jeremiah, he sent Habakkuk, he sent Zephaniah to tell him to straighten up. He preached to him with all them men. They didn't straighten up, they had no excuse. Bible rejectors in this age will have no excuse.
Right.
No excuse.
The whole world will become guilty before God.
Guilty before God. The unjust knoweth no shame. No shame. Jeremiah 3:3. We're going to have to end this thing up real quick. We're going to finish here. We're about finished. No shame. Jeremiah 3:3.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore the sowers have been withholding.
Showers.
Therefore the showers have been withholding, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a brass face. That's just a brass face. No regrets. No shame. I'm okay. You know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Today, there's no shame. There's no blushing anymore.
Right. Right.
The bottom line, sin does not bother people anymore.
That's right.
And if you get to the point where sin don't bother you, you're getting a hard heart. You're getting a hard heart. Okay, we got to stop. We'll figure that next week.
Good lesson, brother.
From my, that last verse, I want everybody to pray for my daughter-in-law because you just prescribed her
to. Bless her.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Charlotte. Amen. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good request right there.
Yeah.
Who's the last one,
Dave? Here he is.
Okay. I'm going to hit the bottom again.